about. You gotta put it in
perspective. मैं बॉलीवुड में नहीं हॉलीवुड में करना चाहती हूँ.
What?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. What do you think might be in here? It has a long handle, and most people would never expect to see such a big one. It surely is a big one. Do you have a special something that you take to bed with you? Does it help you to go to sleep when you hold your special something?
Boy, I'd love to see her do that. And the smell of it was so great, too. So many fine things that you can do with your fingers and your hands.
Oh, look at all the colors on it. Oh, it is big. And you're going to go up in that?
Do you ever get dressed up in somebody else's clothes for play? Hi, neighbor. Had a little trouble with my zipper there. Mr. McFeely came over here last night and asked if he could do something fun for me. A kind of secret, he said.
Just one thing before you go. I'd like you to know how grateful I am for you. There's only one in this wonderful world. You are special.
And now...
Some people call it a mouth organ because you blow in there.
Our feature presentation.
I didn't realize until, I don't know, a few years ago that everything he said has double entendre.
Creepy!
Every single word that came out of Mr. Rogers' mouth could be... somehow could be turned into sexual talk, and it just is.
And so, of course, we did that.
We didn't edit it.
No, that's true.
We just found clips and played them. Mr. Rogers. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, the 19th of September. Guy Whittall is going to start the story today. He recently discovered a maid was screaming from his room at the Humani Ranch one morning in Zimbabwe.
Okay.
He spent the entire night sleeping, got up, dangled his feet over the bed, no big deal, got up, went and got dressed, turned back, and looked, and there was an 8-foot crocodile under his bed that they believe was there all night.
Oh, my God.
8-foot crocodile.
Dude.
So, dude was sleeping on top of the crocodile.
Dude.
Right. So all you parents that have been telling your kids and all you kids that have been told, there's nothing under your bed.
Go to sleep.
Don't believe them. There is something under your bed, if you're in Zimbabwe especially.
Oh, my God.
So it was just hanging out there. And the guy, not knowing it, now this has special meaning, was dangling his feet over, which means really could have very easily been right in front of its mouth.
To the crocodile, that's breakfast.
Right. So just sitting there, no problem, hanging out. Sat there for a while, the guy said, you know, to try and wake up.
Sure.
Before he stood up and went on with his day.
Oh, my God.
But they called animal control, and they roped and dragged the 330-pound creature back to the wild. 330 pounds.
And I always thought it was creepy when you go to the desert and they say, check your shoes for scorpions. That horrifies me.
Yeah.
Check under your bed for alligators is not something I thought about.
You would never think that. No. But we're not in Zimbabwe, so that's good. I don't think alligators and crocodiles are a problem here.
Later, that man was killed by a scorpion.
So far, that would be funny. I did not see that update, no. But that would be funny. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? We have comedian Ben Glebe in the program.
Yeah, he's funny.
Talking about his 100th podcast and the comedy juice shows that he's got coming up at the Irvine Improv. We have author Dave Barry on the program today.
Famed humorist Dave Barry.
This is a guy who is, I believe, single-handedly responsible for really making Talk Like a Pirate Day.
He made
go.
It sing, that's for sure.
Because every day seems to be some kind of special day, and it's all nonsense.
Yeah.
As is Talk Like a Pirate Day, but it took off like crazy. And basically after one of his articles. So we're going to talk to him today. We have Dr. Drew on the program today. Mm-hmm. We have Sarah Shahi on the program today.
Not bad.
Talking about person of interest. She's the only guest that has ever come in and demanded shots.
It's had to do it.
So we said, okay, I mean, if that's how you work, then we'd be more than happy to do that. Concessions that you had to make for your partner. we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. And we've got some VIP tickets to the Red Bull Flutog this weekend.
Where Kevin.
At which I am the head judge.
Is the head judge.
And David Hasselhoff.
Yes.
Is an associate judge.
Mm-hmm.
Who has more power? Me. So that's a little scary. So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the showbiz. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53. Let's give this a try. Ralph Garman, check, check.
Arr, check. Arr, matey. Arr.
Check, 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 check,
arr.
Check, two. Arr, matey.
Arr.
It is Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Yes, it Woo-hoo! Is.
Ralph Garman
is that a thing? Are we still doing that?
Well, we weren't, and I was the one that was against it.
Yeah.
I didn't like Talk Like a Pirate Day much, but then we found
you never did.
But then we found out kind of the people who were responsible for it. We're going to talk to them today. So now you
well, one of the guys, yeah.
Yeah, Dave Barry is a popular author. He wrote about it and kind of brought it to, you know, to mainstream attention.
Yeah.
And then it took off like wildfire. And
sure
every single day of the year has some kind of such and such day. And they're all boring and nonsense. But Talk Like a Pirate Day, for some reason, is just taken off like
well,
crazy.
It's fun anyway.
Arr, it is, Lisa May. It's arr.
Ralph, tell us where you are today.
I am in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, boys and girls.
And
cradle of liberty. Home. Of everything that makes this country great.
Ralph Garman's birthplace.
Okay.
It is, yes. It's another reason this place is great.
And he's there to watch the team that has lost 7 home games in a row.
How dare you, sir.
Play football tonight, his Eagles.
Yeah, I'm here to see the Philadelphia Eagles play the Kansas City Chiefs tonight at Lincoln Financial Field. It'll be, of course, the Thursday night game on NFL Network. You can check it out yourself. But every year, my boys and I, we get together and we go to one football game a season. We try to get together for one Eagles game, and so this year we picked this game because, well, first of all, it's Andy Reid's returning. He is coaching now Kansas City, of course, so it's his first game back, which is a big deal.
He's
but then
coached,
at halftime,
coached the Eagles for a long time.
Yeah, for like 14 years. So this is his first trip back since he changed sides. And then at halftime, they're going to be retiring Donovan McNabb's number. Number 5 will be retired at the link because he is. I know a lot of people are down on Donovan. I've always liked him, but he is the. He has like the record for every record, quarterback record in the franchise.
So does he really?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking yesterday, I don't know that he's done enough to get his number retired. I'm not.
He owns every quarterback All record right. for the Eagles.
Well, I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah. It's, you know, of course, they suffered and struggled towards the end of his career there with Philadelphia. But you have to remember, they went to like 5 NFC championship games and they took him to a Super Bowl. So still quite the achievement. So that's what I'm doing in Philadelphia today and tomorrow. But I will still be here walking the show biz beat. Talking
today,
about a pirate.
Tomorrow
today.
Is going to be after the football game.
I'll be like this.
Ralph will be hungover.
The reason I bring up Talk Like a Pirate Day is because if you go to Krispy Kreme Donuts today and you talk like a pirate, you get a free donut.
Check that out.
Look, I know it's a BS holiday, but seriously, how many other holidays do you know where you get free donuts? Not many. If you dress up like a pirate and go into a Krispy Kreme donut today,
yes,
you get a dozen free donuts.
Now, what does that mean? What does it mean, dressing up like a pirate? Like what items?
You have to have a parrot. You need a parrot.
A parrot?
No, I don't know. An iPad, you have to cut off one of your legs and get a peg
okay,
put
good.
On the end of it.
It's worth it. They're donuts.
You need a hook. You need a hook. You need a ship. You need some
you need a ship?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's
like
criteria is pretty high.
For a dozen donuts.
No, just like a hat or a bandana or an eye patch or whatever. If you go in there dressed like a pirate, they give you a dozen donuts.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. All right, let's take a look at this. Shocking news. First day of sales for Grand Theft Auto 5. Have you seen this?
I have not, no.
Released on Tuesday, the latest in the Grand Theft Auto gaming franchise, the 5th installment. In 24 hours, how much money do you think? How much in sales do you think Grand Theft Auto 5
made? Wow, this is always such a huge number. It's more than movies. I don't know. I think 80 million?
Yeah, that's a pretty good guess. $800 million.
No. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
That
Wait,
can't
20,
be.
In 24 hours.
That can't be.
That made
it
almost a $100 million. What?
No.
800.
No.
800 million was stupid.
80 was stupid high, right?
Yes.
And then I thought 100 just now. He's saying 800.
Good thing we're not playing Lick Lisa.
Wow.
$800 million. Almost $1 billion.
Good Lord.
In 24 hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
As you can imagine, every other like-minded industry, including Hollywood, is very jealous. Can you imagine a movie that would make almost $1 billion in a day?
It's not possible.
No. If you reach that an entire, you know, span of spending time in a theater, they considered it, you know, it's only a handful of movies have ever done that. So, yeah, pretty
800
impressive.
$800 million.
$800 million.
A lot of people calling in sick today. I know
yeah,
that.
Sitting home playing that game. Ah, Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, God, we haven't heard anything about Lindsay, really.
No, we haven't. It's her mom that we got into trouble. Remember, Dina got popped for DUI charges last week.
Right.
Well, this is the cool thing. We're going to find out how Lindsay feels about that because we forgot Lindsay is filming her new reality docuseries currently.
Oh, for Oprah.
Yes, and cameras were on her when she found out that her mother had been popped for DUI.
Oh, I hope she started laughing.
Well, according to sources, really? Lindsay got really pissed. The cameras were filming. She called her mom an effing child and a complete hypocrite.
When Lindsay calls you that.
Yeah. You know you're a mess.
Wow. This is a mess.
And we don't know whether Bryan Cranston will be playing Lex Luthor in the next Superman movie or not, but we do know he's been announced he will play screenwriter Dalton Trumbo in a true life story about the man who was able to break through the Hollywood blacklist in the 1950s. I don't know how much you know about the history of Hollywood, but there was a communism scare in the 50s. The Red Scare, it was called, where if you were a suspected communist or you had any ties to the Communist Party, Hollywood would blacklist you. They wouldn't let you work in the industry. You couldn't write, you couldn't act, you couldn't direct. They would just never hire you again.
But was there was no proof needed? They just said...
Nope. No. Just the suspicion was
enough. Wow.
And this screenwriter, Dalton Trumbo, was the guy who finally broke through the Hollywood blacklist after he was first sent to prison for refusing to answer questions from the House on Un-American Activities Committee in 1950. After he was released, he wrote movies which won two Academy Awards, but he wrote them under fake names.
No kidding.
Yeah, people were willing to hire him as long as he didn't put his actual name on scripts. And
stuff. It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Fascinating story, and Bryan Cranston will play him in a movie about his life. So
that'd be cool stuff.
Today's celebrity birthdays: actor Jeremy Irons is 65 years old today. Country singer Trisha Yearwood turns 49. Comedian Sherry O'Terry is 48 years old today. She's also from Philadelphia, by the way. Jimmy Fallon is 39, and Adam West. Adam West is 85 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
And we have Sarah Shahi coming up in a minute, talking about person of interest. But first, Jaden Smith is in the news. Wow, what a douchebag this kid is.
Seriously.
15-year-old son of Will and Jada Smith. And he's been on Twitter a lot. And he, if I could just speak to this for a second, the key to being stupid, if I could just, and I think I'm an expert on that.
I think you would know something about that.
Is to not think you're smart. Really just accept the fact that you're kind of dumb. You're a little dull. You'll be fine. But he seems to think that he's got all the knowledge in the world. Of course, we remember this song.
It's the coolest of the coolest. It's the smoothest of the smoothest. It's the crudest and the rudest of the stupid kids. Mr. Vicious with his missus blowing kisses to his mistress and his missus blowing riches like some hooligans.
People like to ask me, he tweets, what do you want to be when you get older? And I would say that is what a stupid question. The real question is, what am I right now?
Oh, wow. That's deep.
School is a tool to brainwash the youth, he tweets.
I'm tripping. I just listen to these women when they sipping on them juices. They say Jaden, yeah, he's too legit. And I'll be.
Yeah, he's too legit. If newborn babies could speak, they would be the most intelligent beings on planet Earth.
I don't know what that means. That makes no sense at all.
That is 100% the opposite of reality.
Yeah.
But he's out there tweeting like it's really like deep. Oh, wow. Thanks for that input. If everybody in the world dropped out of school, we would have a much more intelligent society.
Because they slipping and they dipping in the pool. They say I'm cool and they be drooling because I'm stupid rich. I might be
not
tripping.
Super rich. That's Jaden Smith, and I don't know how his parents don't just slap him down because, for God's sake.
They sent him to some special school, and I think this is where he gets it.
Oh, dear God. Well, we did ask Dave if we could get him on the phone, and we have Jaden Smith on the phone now. Hi, Jaden.
Good morning, Kevin, and Naveen, and Lisa, and how you doing this morning? Can you go and do it, Jaden? Hey.
But I'm living how I'm living. I'm 14. I'll be forgiven, so forget it, bro.
Now, Jaden, we've been talking about your Twitter, your tweets, and they're kind of dumb.
No.
I mean, really, if babies could talk, they'd be the most intelligent human beings on Earth. They're really not. They haven't really formed. Their brains haven't formed. They haven't learned anything.
No, you don't know, man. They got all the answers. They just need, if they could talk, they would give us all the answers because they're born with all the knowledge that they need.
And I don't care how you be getting all offended because I'm taking older women. Well, I'm sorry, bro. I do it big.
Now, why are you taking all the older women, Jaden?
Because I'm too legit.
Let's,
super rich.
What do you think is happening here with your tweets? I mean, come on, for God's sake.
I'm just dropping knowledge on y'all, and y'all can't handle it because I'm too legit.
I don't...
These are stupid. These are just, they're false.
No, it's because you've been brainwashed, man, because school is the tool to brainwash the youth, and you've been brainwashed, man.
What else can you tell us about life, 15-year-old Jaden Smith?
All the rules in the world were made by somebody smarter than you, so make your own rules.
Yeah. Yeah, that was another one of the ones that's getting a lot of a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Why do you keep doing that, Jaden?
There's something in your throat.
You're not rapping.
Yeah. Because I am intelligent.
You're not.
The people used to ask me what I want to be when I get older, and I say, what a stupid question. The real question is, what am I right now?
You're a douchebag right now, is the answer to that. How often do you tweet there, Jaden? Are you giving us this kind of knowledge all the time, or is it every?
I'm going to tweet more and more because all the haters, they've been coming out and they say, "Oh, don't tweet no more, Jaden." But I'm going to keep tweeting because I got knowledge to drop on people.
Is it?
If everybody in the world drop out of school, we'd have a much more intelligent society.
Right. That's dumb. I mean, that really is. Is it possible that for once the haters are right?
No way, man. Okay. Look, I'm 15. I never had a job in my life.
Right.
My parents are rich, and they gave me a career. Who knows more about life than I do?
Everybody is the answer to that. You haven't had to live life. You haven't had to go get a job. You don't know how life works.
You may have a point, but...
But what? That's not an answer.
It's the only one I got.
All right, that's because you dropped out of school.
So you're going to keep tweeting? You're going to keep dropping this knowledge on us? Is that yes or no?
If you were a newborn baby, you would know that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not. No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, you would, because you'd be the most intelligent beings on the
planet
Earth.
Stop saying that stuff. That's dumb.
The most intelligent beings on planet Earth would be intelligent enough not to go see After Earth.
Okay, there you go. That's the first thing that you've said that actually...
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
And then you might get a call from Lightning.
Yay!
Oh, please, no.
Demanding that you talk about AIS in his commercial.
What?
Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:35. It is Thursday morning, and we welcome to the show one of our favorites of all time, Sarah Shahi. Hi, Sarah.
You guys are my favorites. I love you guys. I miss you so much. Are you doing shots?
Not without you, baby cakes.
Sarah,
how are you?
You really are the only guest who has come into the studio and demanded that we do shots with you.
I love it. I love it. I like being the only one of anything. I'll take it, no matter
what segment.
It is.
That segment is still the stuff of legend, Sarah.
I love it.
That was my bad. She's still there.
Nope.
She's still there.
I'm here. I'm here. Hi,
okay.
Lisa.
Hi, Sarah.
Where's you know who?
You know who is on vacation.
He's on vacation, yeah.
Oh, that a-hole.
Yes.
I can't believe him.
Usually he tries to take vacation when you're on the show. I don't know why.
That's bull.
Ralph and I are different. Ralph's in Philadelphia for his Eagles game tonight. But
oh, my gosh.
He wouldn't miss...
You guys are just a bunch of a-holes now, but I love you.
We really can't stand each other. That's true. Let's talk person of interest.
Let's talk.
Now, it's one of my favorite shows. I'm not sure.
That's good.
I'm not sure. Remember, I told you don't F it up when you were.
I know. I know you told me that.
And
I don't think I have.
You haven't.
It's not for me to judge, but.
It is for me to judge. In my mind, you have not. You've actually made it much better. But your character's weird. Like, your character is a cold-blooded killer, and you're such a.
What's so strange about
Well,
that?
I mean, you're such a spaz. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. We know you. That's what's weird.
You told Steve I was a spaz.
Well, you are a spaz.
You told your husband, Steve Howie, that you're a spaz and a goofball.
That's a surprise to anyone?
I guess not.
So,
yeah.
So they needed a cold-blooded killer.
Yeah.
And they thought
of
you.
You know what? Let me tell you. The way she was pitched to me was she was the love child between Jason Bourne and Catwoman. And it's like, when you're presented with anything that sounds like that, like, I jumped on it.
You're in.
I played hard to get for a couple days just to try and be cool in front of Jonah Nolan, but at the end of the day, I always knew it was something that I wanted to do, and you know, I've never done anything like this before, so it was also, it was a challenge, and I will say my favorite part of the job, though, is it's all the action stuff. Like, you know, I don't know what you've seen, but it's pretty action-heavy for me, and I do 99% of my own stunts, and I go to work and I chase boys, I shoot them, and then I beat them up. Like, it's way too much fun.
Now, when you say you beat them up, is that choreographed beat them up, or could you actually take me down?
I mean, I could probably. I'd like to think I could take you down.
I know,
after a couple shots.
I would, but I feel like I would cheat. Like, I would do something like I'd give you lots of tequila, and then I would, you know, like,
yeah.
I would,
it's your
find
secret
a way
weapon
to cheat. Yeah, whereas Shaw doesn't need that. She's a bad ASS. Like, you know, she doesn't need to cheat.
We can say ass.
Oh, we can?
Yeah,
okay,
we can.
Good. All right. Good. Ass.
All right, I'm going to give a shot to recap this show for people who haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
There's a huge computer that was built and given to the government, and it uses all the surveillance cameras and all the information to try and pick out terror threats. But it discards what it considers the meaningless person-on-person crime. And that's where Finch, one of the creators, and Reese, the special agent, go out and try and change the fortune of these people. This machine puts out the numbers of who's in danger, and then they go out and try and stop it. Mm-hmm. Your character used to be an assassin overseas, killing people that the machine gave you to kill. Then you didn't like it, so you joined Finch and Reese.
That's right. You know,
is that all good?
It was very good. Were you reading that?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh.
That's the only way you could get through it, Sarah. Let's be honest.
That was good reading.
Thank you.
Good reading.
I knew I couldn't do it off the top of my head.
But you're right. And my character, she worked for, you know, just like Reese, she worked for a very undercover, covert military operation type of thing. And her own government turns against her, so she fakes her own death. Her number does come up, which is how Reese and Finch become involved with her. And the part that whatever it was that you read left out was that you don't know. Another part of our job on the show, the character's job, is you have to find out, is the crime happening to them, or are they going to commit the crime?
So you know it's a person, but you don't know if they're going to
exactly
kill or
if
be
they're
killed.
The perp or the target. So. So my government, you know, turns on me. I'm kind of a man without a country, so to speak, in the first few episodes. And then, you know, these guys take me in. But I wouldn't say that Shaw has joined the team. I mean, if you've seen any of her, and you'll really get a sense of this, you know, in the season, is that she is, she likes being the rebel on the outside. And at any minute, she can just be like, you know what? F all you guys, shoot them all up and turn around and walk the other way and not even glance back.
You're a loose cannon. You play by your own rules.
I really do. I really, really do. And or she does. Yeah,
she does.
Like to think I do, but I don't. But she really does. She does her own thing.
Sarah, when they offered you the role in season two, did you know it was going to become a series regular for the following season? Was that already established?
I didn't know, because, you know, it was one of those things where even after I got the job, I was still auditioning. I had to impress Jonah Nolan and you know, CBS and the fans. I mean, there's such a huge following with the show and I feel like, you know, the writers and Jonah and Greg, they really want to, as much as they are making their show, they want the fans to be happy. So I feel like if the fans had a problem with it, it could have gone the other way. But, you know, so far, so good.
And they wrote the part for you specifically after they heard you doing shots on our show. Is that correct?
Yes.
After they saw you in Alias.
Yeah, well, I guess Jonah had always followed my career from Alias, and he said that, you know, this was always a role that he kind of envisioned me doing, and he wrote it for me.
By the way, he was following your career since Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders.
He especially loved my physical work on the L Word.
Yes. When you were really kicking ass or kissing it or something.
Kissing it, yeah.
Something.
So this show, Person of Interest, comes back next Tuesday, September 24th at 10 p.m. on CBS. Is there anything you could tell us about the first episode?
What can I tell you? It's, you know, this season in particular, I'll just say, I mean, the first episode is, it's fantastic. I kill like 10 people in the first 30 seconds.
Nice.
On top of a horse and carriage wearing a tight like dress.
Nice.
So, you know, it's very Angelina Jolie Salt-esque in some respects. But this season in general, I think they just, you know, the goal is to just move, the machine is lost. We do not know where the machine is. There's a lot of good Root and Shaw type stuff happening.
Root is the girl that's the bad.
That's right. The evil one
that's trying to take the machine.
Yes, she also wants control of the machine, but in a very different way from Michael Emerson's character.
You know what's funny?
Wants to create harm.
I saw her interviewed and you interviewed, and it struck me that she's sort of like happy-go-lucky, spazzy, kind of like you are, and you're both playing. She plays a cold-blooded killer too.
She does, yeah. But she plays a cold-blooded killer that comes across a little bit sweeter than mine is.
She does smile while kicking you.
Like with Shaw, everything is down here, and it's very kind of, you know, like, you know, the Clint Eastwood, you know, kind of acting. Whereas with her, it's very like, oh, you don't listen to me, then I'm going to kill you.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
It's like, you know, so it's very different interpretations, but yeah. And, but she's great. I love working with her. I mean, I've had my experience of, like, not so great co-stars, and
Which one?
I can't. You know what?
One?
You know what? Here, you know what?
What?
If you had some shots in front of me right now.
We need truth serum.
But I can't do it.
If you were
I can't. I'm not brave enough.
If you were in town, we would have shots. So the next time you're in town, you got to come
next
in.
Next time. That's right.
And then we'll have
this
some shots.
This is actually quite a professional interview we're having right now.
I know.
With us.
It's strange, isn't it? It doesn't feel right.
I know.
Well, Sarah, we know you got to go. We love having you on the show always.
I love you guys. Thank you. Thank
and when you
thank
come
you.
To town, you come in and we will have shots for you standing by.
I will. Let's try some scotch next time.
All right.
I like it.
All right.
Okay, good.
Whatever
all
you
right,
insist
bye,
on.
Guys.
Thank
I
you.
Love you.
Thank you.
Have
bye.
A good day.
Bye, Sarah.
Bye.
Sarah Shahi, person of interest, next Tuesday, September 24th, 10 p.m. on 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53. We have a giveaway for you here in a couple of minutes. We're going to give you some VIP some VIP passes for the Red Bull Flutog, which is this Saturday, of which I am the head judge.
Yes, and so to celebrate the fact that Kevin is the head judge, we're going to play a special Kevin game to give away the tickets to the Red Bull Flutog.
This is where people, it's Does Kevin Know.
It's called Does Kevin Know.
Yeah.
We ask Kevin questions about the Kevin and Bean Show that he absolutely should know, but sometimes doesn't. And you just simply have to say, well, Kevin will know or Kevin won't know.
And let me just give you a little hint. Didn't sleep much last night.
Woohoo!
I'd go with no.
Okay.
But anyway, it's happening this Saturday, Long Beach's Rainbow Harbor, and it's free to attend, but you get VIP tickets if you can win the game, Does Kevin Know? Right now, Ralph is here for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Rainbow Harbor sounds like a magical place that I would love to visit.
People are talking about Grand Theft Auto 5. The numbers are pretty astonishing. It went on sale on Tuesday, and it ended up raking in $800 million in sales.
Oh my God.
In 24 hours.
$800 million? How can you even get your head around that?
The game will blow past the $1 billion threshold very shortly. Obviously making it one of the most successful video games of all time, but people are just blown away by how quickly it made all that money. It's just crazy.
And you know, all those people that spent that money on it have been playing it all week. I saw a tweet where a girl said that she got broken up with. She said, look, Grand Theft Auto or me. And the dude said, going back to the game.
Wow.
See you later.
I don't think a video game could ever replace vagina for me. But good for you, sir. The Rockstar Games, the company who made it, spent $115 million just developing the game. And then another $150 million on marketing.
Wow.
So they've spent $265 million just to get it into the streets. So, still, imagine, you know, the profit is like four times back to him.
That's crazy. In 24 hours.
Yeah, it's nuts. Speaking of money, the cast of The Big Bang Theory is getting ready to renegotiate their contracts. Apparently, Johnny Galecki, Jim Parsons, and Haley Cuoco all are looking for new deals from the producers for that show, which is still, I think, the most successful sitcom on television right now. Expected to negotiate together, those three actors. They're already getting $350,000 an episode.
Wow.
They will more than likely make $500,000 per episode when all is said and done. That's what they're shooting for.
That sounds crazy until you see what kind of money the network can make on a show like that.
Right.
Yes, but it is crazy.
It is crazy. I agree.
To make $500,000 a week.
Yeah, I mean, I'd take it.
Would you?
I would.
You're a sport.
I think I'd go for that. Yeah.
You're a nice man.
Matt Bomer of White Collar, he has got a new role. He has been tapped to play the legendary actor Montgomery Clift, a new biopic about his life. Montgomery Clift, for those who don't know, was a method actor, starred in a couple smash hit movies back in the 50s, A Place in the Sun, From Here to Eternity, among others. And the movie will be out late 2014. Matt Bomer playing him. Good choice, because Montgomery Clift was a legendary, like, classically beautiful actor, and then he had a horrible car accident because he was also a drunk and a drug addict, and it destroyed his looks, and he never got over it. Oh. So I wonder if they were going to ugly up Matt Bomer, as if that's possible.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that.
Mark Wahlberg, he's going to make a decent living. I just found out from the New York Post that he is starring, of course, in the next Transformers movie. Mm-hmm. He's taking over for Shia LaBeouf as a lead in that film. $18 million will be his payday for that film.
Wow.
Not too shabby.
Wow.
To run away from imaginary robots. And it looks like Madonna may be getting married again. According to In Touch magazine, the 55-year-old slab of beef jerky is introducing her boyfriend to everyone at her Kabbalah Center in New York City as her fiancé. Her boyfriend is named Brahim Zaibat.
That's a person?
Yes. He is from the planet Meepsor. Hello, I am Brahim Zaibat. Take me to your leader. Brahim, by the way, 25 years old.
Yeah, this is the one she's been spending time with for a while now.
Yes.
Yeah. She is a she's the definition of a cougar.
Oh, my God.
She is a deadly cougar. But if you are Brahim Zaibat and you're just fresh out of your spaceship, do you marry Madonna? I mean, you have fun with Madonna. You hang out with Madonna.
Yes, yes.
But do you marry a 55-year-old Madonna?
I wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't think so either, but...
I wouldn't think so either.
She's got a ton of dough. That might be...
I know, but your life, your day-to-day life would be hell, I would think. Yeah. It's so tightly controlled.
Yeah.
That's my impression.
You would feel
maintenance.
Yeah.
You would feel like she's high maintenance and you're pretty much a slave.
Yeah.
That's what you would feel like. I would think.
It would be heartbreaking, I think, on so many levels. You first of all... You just become an accessory to Madonna's life, right?
Right.
You don't have your own life. You're just there to be alongside whatever voyage she takes.
Right, exactly.
Look, not every guy needs his own life. Maybe it works out for him. Who knows? Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars born today, September the 19th. Zachary Levi is 33 years old today. Allison Sweeney is 37. Victoria Silvstedt. Remember Victoria?
Yes.
Sure do.
One of our favorite playmates of the year ever. She's 39 years old today. So is Jimmy Fallon. Nile Rodgers, guitarist and producer, is 61 years old.
That's the guy that was on all the Daft Punk songs, right?
That's right.
I believe.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. From Chic. Jeremy Irons is 65 years old today. And Adam West, my personal Lord and Savior, turns 85 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
It's time to give away some tickets for the Red Bull Flugtag, which is this Saturday at Long Beach's Rainbow Harbor. And
Kevin will be the head judge of the Flugtag this year.
As it should be.
It is, because when it comes to people doing dumb things, life-threatening dumb things, Kevin is the man to go to. But his brain works in a very unique way. So we thought we would tie in the giveaway to the tickets to the Red Bull Flugtag with a game we like to call, Does Kevin Know?
You like
Does Kevin know? Does Kevin know? Well, there seems to be some doubt. Does Kevin know? Does Kevin know? I think it's time we all found out. Well, we know he has some knowledge, but it might be pretty small. He thinks he went to college, but he really can't recall. Does Kevin know? Does Kevin know? I think it's time we all found out.
I think I have a smaller hard drive than most, and so I have to jettison yesterday's information just so that I can hold on to today's.
Yeah, you need to be de-rezzed.
I do. Every day. So really stuff I should know, not available to me. So that's why we're doing this.
Here's how we play the game. We ask Kevin questions about things he should know, things that happened on the show recently, as recent as yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Come on.
And we see if he can come up with the answers. You, the K-Rock listener, just have to say Kevin will know or Kevin won't know. It's very easy.
All right, let's begin with Maxine. Hi, Maxine.
Maxine, I'm going to ask you a question. We'll turn down Kevin's headphones so he can't hear us, and I'm going to ask you the question.
Gotcha.
Is Kevin, your mother, Kevin?
Yes.
He's silent. Okay.
Okay.
Maxine, Kevin loves the song The Fox by that band Ylvis.
Yep.
You know, what will the fox say? He loves that. Will he know what country that popular musical duo comes from? They come from Norway. Will Kevin know Norway?
Boy. We'll say... no.
You'll say no.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Let's bring Kevin back and we'll ask him.
Kevin's back.
All right.
Kevin?
Yes.
We all know how much you love the song The Fox by
Ylvis.
I do.
Yes.
You've Rickrolled people with that to no end
I've
on Fox Twitter.
Rolled people, yes.
Yes. Yelvis, a very popular musical duo, comedy duo. What country does Yelvis come from?
Oh, Scandinavian someplace. It's like Sweden or Norway.
No.
What, Maxine? Did you say no?
I thought I was thinking it in my head.
Yeah, you were saying it out loud, Maxine.
I think it's Sweden.
I'm sorry, it's Norway, Kevin. Oh! Norway is the answer.
But I mentioned Norway.
Maxine, right. Kevin did not know. You guessed he would not know. You're going into the drawing. Congratulations.
Oh, good.
Excellent.
Yay. I'm happy for you, Maxine.
Hold on. We're going to give a drawing.
All right.
Okay, who's next?
Let's go to Silix.
That's not a name.
Silix.
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 Yeah. That's so much better.
Sorry, I got that all wrong.
All right, let's put Kevin in the cone of silence.
All right.
Okay.
You good?
Yeah.
Good to go.
Silix, here's your question. We just talked to Mike Shinoda on the phone this week regarding the new Linkin Park song that they did with Steve Aoki. The title of the song is A Light That Never Comes. Will Kevin know the title of the song?
No, you forget that.
Okay, well, let's turn up Kevin's mic and see. Kevin?
There's always one point of this game where Beer Mug starts chuckling and Lisa starts chuckling, and it's just disheartening.
Kevin, yes. You just spoke with Mike Shinoda on the phone.
Yes.
About the new Linkin Park song that they do with Steve Aoki.
Steve Aoki, yes.
Yeah. What's the title of that song?
The title of the song is... Muggs, you can take your hand away. I'm not looking.
Yes.
Something about this, the sound you don't hear, the sound that's not here. Hold on. Let me work it out. The silence that's coming, the song, the sound, the silence that's coming.
I'm sorry.
Is that right?
It's a light that never comes.
All right. Close enough.
Not close enough at all.
Did you say no, Silix?
He wouldn't know that one, though.
All right.
Yeah, he said no. He also goes into the drawing.
All right.
Good. I don't like to cause people to lose, but
Kevin does not know.
The answer is no is the name of this game.
That's right.
Welcome, Sean.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Well, right. Everyone else is good. I'm not doing so well. Here we go.
All right, Sean, let's put Kevin in the cone of silence. I'll ask you your question.
Good to
go. Ready?
Yep.
Ready.
We just had Seth Green and Peter Riegert in studio regarding their new sitcom Dads on Fox, Sean. Will Kevin know the names of all four actors who star in Dads? Seth Green, Peter Riegert, Giovanni Ribisi, and Martin Mull. We'll be able to come up with all four of those.
Oh, he's got to know Green and Ribisi, I think. Well, maybe not. No.
You'll say no.
Good
all right,
guess.
Let's
no.
See. Kevin?
Yes.
We just recently had two of the stars of the sitcom Dads on Fox in studio this
week. Seth Green.
Do you know the names of all four actors who star in the sitcom Dads?
Seth Green.
That's one.
Martin Mull.
That's two.
Giovanni Ribisi.
Mm-hmm. That is three.
This is embarrassing because the other guy was in our studio.
Mm-hmm. Sure was.
Peter Riegert.
Wow!
Come on!
I would have guessed that.
Sorry, Sean. Sorry, lose.
Sean.
Kevin did know.
Well done, Kevin.
All right, let's go to Alfonso. Hi, Alfonso.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Hey, Alfonso.
Going better now.
Put Kevin in the cone of silence.
Okay, good to go.
Alfonso, right. We had comedians Key and Peele in our studio yesterday. Will Kevin know the full names of Key and Peele? Keegan Michael Key and Jordan Peele. Will he be able to come up with both of those?
I don't think he's that dumb. Yeah, I'll see. Yeah.
You'll say yes, he will. All right, let's wait and see.
Yes, he will.
All right.
Kevin, yesterday in studio, we had the hilarious comedy team of Key and Peele.
Correct.
Do you know the full names of Key and Peele? Can you give us both of those?
Jordan Peele, and there's a hyphen in this one, Keegan-Michael Keel. Come on!
Uh-oh.
That's right!
That's Keegan-Michael Key, I'm sorry. not Keel, not Keegan-Michael Keel.
Come on, that's close.
I'm sorry.
I got his first and middle, or whatever it is.
No, I'm sorry, you
All
didn't.
Right. Did he say no?
No, our listener said you would know it, I think.
Yeah, oh, he did. He did, yeah.
Sorry, Alfonso.
Yes, right. Kevin did not know.
Sorry.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Matt. Hi, Matt.
How you doing?
Bad.
Let's put Kevin in the cone of silence and ask Matt his question. Matt, yesterday we did a segment about the strange things people had to do at job interviews. It came from a story where people applying for a job in a store had to dance for the interviewer to a particular song, Around the World by Daft Punk. Will Kevin remember what song they had to dance to in that story?
Yes.
He will. Okay. Let's
go. Yes, he will.
All right.
All right.
Kevin, remember our call-in topic about strange things you had to do at job interviews?
Yes.
It all came from that story where people were applying for that job at the store and they had to dance for the interviewer?
Yeah, to Daft Punk.
Yeah, what was the
Around
title
the
of
world.
The song? Well done, Kevin. He knew it.
Nice.
Well done.
Come on, because I thought it was Get Lucky, and I thought, how weird is it that they didn't use Get Lucky, that they actually use Around the World? Did you say yes or no, Matt?
I said yes.
You said yes, would know that.
Yep. So you win. You're in the drawing. Nicely done.
Okay.
How much time do we have?
Let's go one more.
Time for one more?
We don't have to, though. I mean, we could break if we needed to.
Let's take one more.
Let's go to Christian. That. Hi, Christian.
Hey, what's up?
Put Kevin in the cone.
Okay.
All right, Christian, here's your question. This past weekend, a new Miss America was crowned, and it caused quite an uproar because she was from Indian descent. Does Kevin know what city the Miss America pageant takes place in? Famously, it's Atlantic City. Will he know Atlantic City is the home of the Miss America pageant?
Oh, dang, he knows the randomest stuff. I say yes.
Yes, you say yes. Okay, let's get Kevin back.
I was just thinking, I'm glad you didn't ask me what store it was, Ralph. I was just thinking that in my head because there's no way I would have gotten it.
Kevin, of course, we talked about the new Miss America being crowned and what an uproar it caused on Twitter because she is from Indian descent.
Yes.
What city, famously, is the home of the Miss America pageant?
What city is the home of the... I've never watched the Miss America pageant, ever.
Yeah.
What city? Atlantic's? Hold on. I think it's Atlantic City.
That's right, Kevin. It is Atlantic City.
Thank you, Muggs. Muggs rung the bell yeah. prematurely.
Yeah, he gave it to you while you were working it out. Muggs is on your side, obviously.
Did you say yes, Christian?
Yes, I did.
Christian said yes, you would know that.
So he's in the drawing as well.
Right, we got everybody in the drawing. Lisa, yeah. You want to pick a name out of the hat?
And our winner is Maxine.
Maxine, the first contestant. Maxine, congratulations.
Awesome.
Good job.
We will see you in Saturday in Long Beach.
Oh, I'm the happiest person.
I'm not.
Does Kevin know? Does Kevin know? Well, I think we all found out.
Am I saying that right?
Yeah, you got it.
And Edwin Mejia.
That's it.
Saying that right.
Kevin, well done.
Come on now.
We're applauding for Kevin.
Director and producer of Generation Iron. Ralph showed us this trailer. It's about the Mr. Olympia competition. And the bodybuilding scene is a bizarre, bizarre world. And Ralph asked you just during that Cage the Elephant song, are you tied into the original Pumping Iron movie?
Yeah, we are. We actually
Schwarzenegger?
Jerome Gary. He's our executive producer. He produced the original Pumping Iron.
And that was a documentary from 77, which pretty much introduced Arnold Schwarzenegger to the world, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Introduced Arnold, Lou Ferrigno. And really, you know,
Franco Colombo, wasn't he also in that?
Franco Colombo, and introduced bodybuilding to the world, and you know, you started seeing all these gyms pop up around the country, and it just spawned kind of like this new revolution
now
of fitness.
These guys that go for Mr. Olympia, I mean, to me, that's gross. I mean,
a lot of people say that, yeah.
Are women attracted to guys that are so overly muscled?
I think it's a combination of things. Some do and some don't, you know, it depends what you kind of like. But it's a professional sport, so when you go to an event, you know, you kind of go there to see something incredible happening on stage, you know. So it's not something ordinary people can necessarily do. It's more for the performance.
Right.
And that's what separates, you know, professional bodybuilding from just regular fitness.
Yeah, that's kind of the point, is these guys want to look as large and as symmetrical and as developed as they can possibly get. That's the whole point, right?
Yeah, it's like almost like human sculpting. You know, you're working, your body is your canvas, and you create some kind of a creation that you present to the people then, you know. So it's like, bodybuilding is a form of art. You know, that's what we kind of discovered while making this film.
Yeah, well, Vlad had this idea of doing this documentary, and I thought he was crazy at first because I've been an athlete in school my life, and Vlad said, let's do this documentary. I really, you know, think this is interesting, and I thought nobody would watch this. Nobody's going to like this. You know, this is very taboo, and you started learning about the guys, especially guys like Kai Greene from Brooklyn, New York, Phil Heath, this old American guy from Denver. And you started to realize that not only were they professionals at what they did, but they were also, you know, very funny, a lot of humor, a lot of character and charisma, and you can tell do a movie just on one of the guys.
Are they narcissistic? Seems like you'd almost have to be.
You have to be. You have to be kind of selfish, almost like when you train for the Olympia, because it consumes all your time. You know, even if you have a family, you have to. And that's what we do in the film. We show kind of their family time. We show a lot of stuff outside of the gym. You know, it's not just happening in the gym. It's the whole lifestyle, and you kind of have to be a little bit selfish. And for some of them, it's difficult to combine family life and their job. So some of them don't have families, basically, because of that. So it's difficult.
But is that any different from someone training for the Olympics? I mean, don't they also have to be really selfish with their time and dedicate most of their day to their training?
Absolutely. I think the only difference is that when you're a bodybuilder, you're being judged based on every, like, your whole body is basically being judged on stage under the bright lights, you know. So you can't take a day off, you know. You always have to eat a certain way, right? You can never really have a bad day, you know. So that's why it's different from all the other sports, basically.
I mean, I'm sorry, guys. Did you find anything in common with you follow seven of these guys around, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
In this film, did you find any one common trait that they all shared? I mean, obviously they're all disciplined, they're all dedicated, and they're ambitious. But what did you find in common with all these different guys from all these different walks of life?
I think it's really that hunger to be number one. It's like almost like not an obsession, but it's like your goal to win. It's a very competitive sport, and it's a physical sport, but it's a very mental sport. You know,
a very mental sport.
Like, for instance, a guy can show up to a competition in great shape, very confident. Somebody looks at him the wrong way, the stress hormone kicks in, and then they lose their confidence on stage. They don't pose the right way. And that's the difference between the first place and the fifth place. It's amazing.
All right, let me ask that question then. The body is not 100%. It's all about presentation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what do? They just pose in different ways, and do they dance? Yeah. What kind of weird world is this?
Yeah, the movie actually addresses that really well. We spent some time with Kai Greene, who actually goes to posing class.
Posing class.
It's kind of like meditation, you know, and they actually get really involved with how their body feels and how to really work their posing in these classes. And then, you know, you can see it on camera. You can see these guys, every particular muscle in their body when they pose on stage, how well-defined it is, and the difference between, like Vlad said, between first and, like, fifth place.
They said that about Schwarzenegger, that was really his strong suit, is he would psych out the competition so much by having this amazing confidence and bravado that guys would lose their confidence on stage, and that's how he would outperform them, right?
Exactly, and that still happens today as well. Like, even the way they look at each other sometimes.
They play mental games with each other?
Absolutely.
You're going down.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
And we even, you know, obviously dress the steroids in there very well. You know, and that's rampant in every sport, and even in the Olympics, for instance, you know, and something. Vlad did an amazing job putting that together.
Is it illegal in the bodybuilding world?
It's well, you know, officially it's illegal in every sport.
Oh, okay.
It's illegal in general, you know, but bodybuilders always being judged way more than any other sport, just because they're big, you know.
How much testing do they actually do?
It's like random testings that are happening, yeah. But it's also, steroids is an individual thing, you know. There's no, like, specific formula to it, the way you should train or the way you should take it.
It seems to me like there are some sports where they should just go, steroids are fine. Everyone just do it. And this is one of those, because that's how you get that kind of body, right? Yeah.
I mean, it's their livelihood.
It should be legal in baseball. It would make it more interesting in baseball if they were actually allowed.
That's a big debate that people are having right now, I think.
But that means you have to do steroids to participate in that sport.
And no, you don't. You don't have to. But
yeah, but you'll never get big like the guys who do. And so you're basically really risking your life and your health by doing that.
Yeah, I don't care.
If Kevin's entertained, he doesn't care.
All right, we need to take a break. The movie's called Generation Iron, and it opens up in limited release tomorrow.
That's right.
September 20th, and we'll be right back. And we are talking to the director and the producer of a movie called Generation Iron, which is about the strange world of bodybuilding that we know pretty much nothing about. And you were tossing out some names during the song there. I don't know any of that. Who's the top person?
So we have Phil Heath, who's the top guy in the world. He's originally from Seattle, but then moved to Denver.
Okay.
Where he did his college basketball, and he's kind of like your all-American guy, you know, the guy who you tend to like. He's a lot of charisma, funny.
What's his damage? Are they all damaged? Because I look at bodybuilders like strippers.
Oh.
Wow. Some of them are happy, but a lot of them have something that happened to them in the past that they're not happy about.
Why would you say that, Kevin, versus any other professional athlete being damaged? Why do you think bodybuilders are damaged?
I don't know.
You know, I can relate.
Well, good. I'm glad it's based on something.
Ralph, you know, most of the time it's just a dumb impression that I base it on nothing. Tell me if I'm wrong.
No, I mean, I can relate a lot to Phil Heath because Phil went through a point where he couldn't play basketball anymore, and that was his passion. And, he sat down with us and told us he couldn't, you know, he told us he went to a point where he couldn't play anymore and made a decision to go into bodybuilding. And that's really kind of what he was really, you know,
gave him something to do.
And he knew that he was really good at it. And he's been training actually a little less than all the other bodybuilders.
Yeah,
and
he achieved the Mr. Olympia within 10 years.
Which is remarkable.
That's remarkable. Wow.
That's remarkable in the sport, yeah.
10 years.
When do most of these guys start training, guys?
Pretty much at a young age, but it takes a lot of years to actually get on that stage to be on an Olympia stage. Even if to make it to Olympia stage, you have to be amazing. You have to be one of the best, you know.
It's all about the meals, the timing. You know,
what percentage of them can make a living at it?
I would say if you're in the top 10 in Olympia, you can make a good living.
Top 10 in the world.
Top 10 in the world, exactly.
Yeah. So you can look almost as good as the top 10.
and basically, if you're 11, you're screwed.
Right, exactly. You're a toll taker or something. You have to go get a job.
Yeah, because the supplement business with, you know, the nutritional sponsors, they're kind of like the lifeline for the bodybuilders.
But only for the top of the top of the top.
Exactly. Right.
It'd be like a race car driver where they put your sticker on your car. Some of these guys do get sponsored to compete, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
How long can they compete? Like, what's the age at which they're just...
That's a great question.
In bodybuilding, actually, you can compete all the way till you're like 40 plus.
That's and still win?
And it can still do good. Yeah, it can still do good.
Yeah, they have different competitions for like the classics and older competitors.
They have that as well, for like 45s. Yeah, definitely have that.
And now let's bring out the white hairs. You talk to Arnold.
We did.
What was that like?
This film? Is Arnold in this film?
Yeah, he is.
He does make
current day Arnold, not video from
No, this is current day Arnold.
Okay.
And Lou Ferrigno also is in the film.
Oh, you did?
So the original cast from The Pumping Iron made an appearance.
Are you surprised when you saw him how small Arnold Schwarzenegger is?
No, I mean, he's actually...
I don't mean that as an insult, but you would think since he won Mr. Olympia that he would be a monster of a man.
Yeah, he still has a amazing presence. I mean, when he walked over to us for the interview, he walked with like 5 security guards. And, you see this guy with this huge skull ring, and he sits down, and he's like, he greets me, and he's kind of like with this weird look, but he's a great guy. He's, you could tell why he's very successful. He's a very smart businessman, very smart
Not nervous, but was he dreading sort of what angle you guys were going to take on this? Or
At first, of course, him and his team were very hesitant with regards to bodybuilding because bodybuilding is something that's very close to him and dear to him.
Right.
And he's still heavily involved with it now. He's actually the executive chief editor, of Muscle and Fitness.
Yeah. Oh, is he?
And he gave
About me getting the maid pregnant with the baby. Don't talk about that.
Did he say that?
Just talk about the weight, lifting weights.
No, unfortunately.
You should have asked him then. That's all anyone cares about. So what's his take on current day bodybuilding?
Well, I think the biggest debate in bodybuilding right now is what should be rewarded in the sport. Is it the huge, big muscular body, or is it more... smaller, leaner physique, because that's what the big debate is. And I think
the aesthetics of it.
Exactly. And that's what we talked to him about. What should Mr. Olympia should look like, basically?
If you look at the Mr. Olympias from when Schwarzenegger competed in the 70s versus now, there's no comparison. These guys are so much bigger now.
Exactly.
They're like another animal. They look like, at least the guys in the 70s look like well-developed men, but these guys look like creatures from another planet, some of them.
They look like comic book heroes.
They do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They really do.
But I think it's because the audience, they want to see that. When you go to the show, you want to see something incredible. Like when you go to a baseball game, you want to see home runs. You want to see a lot of home runs, and you want to see it all the time. So it's similar in bodybuilding.
I talked a little bit about our friend who did this, Psycho Mike, and when I went to watch his thing, it wasn't, there's no crowd. It's friends and family.
Right.
Is there, for Mr. Olympia, is there literally an audience that shows up and they buy tickets and there's the whole deal?
There's people that are really, that find a place and a special place with bodybuilding, and they really go to these shows, especially the Olympia competition in Vegas every year, which
That's
takes
in Vegas?
Place next, next week.
Next week.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, and people come from all over the world.
To watch, because they're fascinated.
Yeah, and bodybuilding as a sport is an international sport now. people in Germany, India, all over the world.
Brazil. Even in our cast members, we have a Japanese bodybuilder, the first professional Japanese bodybuilder from Japan that competed at Olympia stage.
His name is Hidetada Yamagishi. Yeah. He's actually in Venice Beach at Gold's. He trains.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Me too.
I guess it's one of those sports where you could compete regardless of where you are or what income level you're at, because all you need pretty much is a set of weights, and then you can do it, right?
That, but, you know...
Food, right?
Food is the most important.
A lot of food.
And
the right food. Yeah,
the right food. I mean, I think we were told they spend about $40,000 on food a year.
Wow. Yeah.
So does Beer Mug.
So does Beer Mug. Yes.
Just all goes to his belly.
Not nearly the results.
What surprised you the most about this world?
I think a few things. I think most people, when they think about bodybuilders, they think of meatheads. They think of very kind of unintelligent people that just lift weights all the time. But I think in reality, they're very sensitive people and like real artists, you know, and they care about their art, except for they carry their art on themselves, basically, you know. And the sensitive side of them has really impressed me, you know, just to see how they see themselves and how they want to be perceived. And even in the media, you know, it's always negative attention, I would say.
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at them and you go, that's kind of gross. Does that hurt their feelings? Do they not like
yes,
that?
Yes, it does hurt their
feelings. What do they do when they walk around? How do people treat them? Because you can tell that they're behemoths.
They can't even buy clothes off the rack, right? Yeah. Everything they wear has to be
Same with mugs. Same thing.
Well, they get a lot of stares, and sometimes they get negative comments, actually. People look at them like, and they say negative things to them. It's weird.
Mm. Like, what are you making up for? Something like that?
Yeah.
And they get their feelings hurt.
Yeah, they do. Huh. They do. Yeah.
Well, they shouldn't do that.
I wouldn't want to get myself in any sort of situation which makes my penis look smaller. That's what my concern would be. Because the bigger my shoulders are and my lats and my glutes and my biceps, it's just going to make my penis look smaller in comparison. I could never buy into that.
That's why we're going the opposite way.
That's right, yes.
Yeah. We're trying to be as thin as we possibly can. Vlad Uden and Edwin Mejia, the two guys that made Generation Iron, and that opens tomorrow. Let's see, it's in limited theaters in Southern California, so you're going to have to look for it. Generation Iron is the name of it.
It looks fascinating
to
me. I can't wait to check it out. And then I'm sure you guys have a deal with Hulu. It's going to be on Hulu later on in the year, too. People can look for it there, right?
We did an exclusive digital deal with Hulu as well, and it'll be available December 17th with them.
Great. Fantastic.
So go see in the theaters or wait for it on Hulu, but definitely check it out. Generation Iron. You can go to generation-iron.com for more information.
Thanks for coming in, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
You bet.
A light that never comes. All right, that's the name.
Uh-huh,
yeah,
that is the name.
Sure is.
Linkin Park and Steve Aoki. It is 7.
A silence that will never be coming.
Why do you always make me sound drunk?
Why are you always drunk is a more important question.
Ralph is here with a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to the Showbiz Beat, how about some tickets to see Jane's Addiction at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino?
Yay!
Great show. It's going to be a great show. Jane's Addiction. Special guest Portugal the Man, all happening at San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino on October the 24th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 11 a.m., but no, my friends. No waiting in line for you. No getting on the internet or the phone for you. I'm going to give you tickets because I love you. 1-800-520. Of course it's true. 1-800-520-1067. Three callers who get through at that phone number will get a pair of tickets to go see Jane's Addiction at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino. All right, let's take a look at what's going on in the world of show business. I just can't get past it, so I'm leading every Showbiz Beat with this story. But Grand Theft Auto 5 went on sale on Tuesday, and it raked in 24 hours, $800 million.
In one day.
That's ridiculous.
How can you even manufacture that much product to be able to sell? I mean, what's it cost on an average video game now?
I would guess 59, 60 65 bucks.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. 50, 60 bucks?
Yeah.
How can you even generate enough copies in order to rake in $800 million in 24 hours?
I don't know. That is a crazy number.
Yeah. So congratulations, everybody at Rockstar Games. I mean, it's ridiculous. Although I was surprised how expensive it is to develop a game like that. Grand Theft Auto 5 cost $115 million just to develop, and then they spent another $150 million on marketing. So it's not cheap to get one of these games out there.
So they only profited about $500 million in 24 hours.
About a half a million bucks.
Half a billion.
I'm sorry, half a billion bucks. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Nuts. Kevin, this is not showbiz news, but I found this morning. I thought it would be good news for you.
Okay.
In Sweden now, it's legal to be intimate with yourself in public.
What a terrible law.
You'd be happy to know that. Yeah.
What a terrible law that is.
But think about it. Interesting ruling came down. A 65-year-old man was on the public beach back in June,
right,
taking care of business.
But nobody else wants to see that.
He was arrested, and he was charged. But the judge in the case ultimately ruled that no crime was committed because he wasn't directing it at anyone.
Directing it?
He wasn't directing.
You have to be chasing someone down the beach with it?
No, but you have to be sort of like, it's not sexual assault if you're not, you know, leering at someone or making someone uncomfortable. He was just minding his own business, taking care of business, and they said there was no victim,
but
so no crime, and the guy got off. So now a Swedish court has made it legal to be intimate with yourself in public.
That's a lot of masturbation.
Wow,
yes.
That's a terrible law.
So I say, let's do the show from Sweden. Let's all go to Sweden and just... Just do a K-Rock microphones were there. We'll just do a break where we're just all out
I'd
there.
I'd rather
just
not.
Enjoying the sunshine, if you know what I'm saying.
Wow. What a terrible law.
Lindsay Lohan in the news this morning. Her mother, Dina, of course, got popped for DUI charges last week. I wonder how Lindsay felt about it. Well, turns out we're all going to find out. They were filming her new reality docuseries for the Oprah Winfrey Network when she found out. Cameras were rolling when she heard the news, according to RadarOnline.com.
Ah.
And everyone who was there at the time said she got really pissed, calling her mom an effing child and a hypocrite, which is hard to argue with. Because her mom has been saying to her she's got to clean up her act for some time.
By the way, her mom's right, but then her mom is a hypocrite as well.
Yeah. Yes. So, but it seems, by all accounts, Lindsay's still holding strong with this sobriety thing. It's her mom that has the problems. But it can't be easy when you're fighting for your own sobriety and then you see your mom get popped for DUI. I mean, most people in a normal world, you try to look towards your parents as being some sort of semblance of security and grounding, you know, a grounding influence on your life.
But Lindsay's got her dad, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's my point. Exactly.
He's got no one.
Oh, poor woman. We should be surprised she turned out like she did. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. So many people born today on the 19th of September. Jeremy Irons is 65. Nile Rodgers of the band Chic, guitarist and producer for that band, of course, worked with Daft Punk on their latest record, 61 years old. Jimmy Fallon is 39, as is former Playmate of the Year, Victoria Silvstedt. Actor Zachary Levi is 33 years old today. But the reason we celebrate the day, beside it being Talk Like a Pirate Day, is Adam West.
Adam West. Adam West. A little bit softer now. Adam West. Adam West. Adam West. Adam West.
Mayor of Quahog and, of course, Batman for the generations. He's 85 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We welcome to the studios of K-Rock, Ben Glebe.
Yeah.
The comedian who just walked into the studio and shook my hand with his left hand because he's injured.
Yeah.
And he's holding his right hand very gingerly like it had been seriously effed up, like a car ran over it or some traumatic injury.
Yeah. Listen, there's not a lot of injuries that a stand-up comedian can sustain in life. I'm a man of the people. I shake hands after every show with everybody in the audience. Sometimes you get a string of three enormous meatheads who live in Lake Tahoe and, I don't know, lift themselves for a living.
Right.
And the squeeze, it crunched my hand.
Yeah.
I'm undiagnosed.
You got injured?
Some sort of a fractured something in my hand.
Shaking hands?
Yeah.
When?
This is about 3.5 weeks ago.
You're still holding it like it's killing you.
Let me explain something to you. I'm very weak as a person.
Well, no kidding.
Yeah, I don't have strength in my arms. I tell jokes, you know? My only strength is in my mind. And even that sometimes, if someone looks at me weird, it hurts my brain.
But you shook hands. Like, don't you go outside and have somebody else, like, beat you up so that you have a better story?
Well, then
it's
I did.
Part of the injuries?
No, I did. Right after the show, I felt weak. I was like, anybody just tackle me. And there were some jokes that were offensive to some of the ladies in the audience. So I got beaten up by a gaggle of ladies.
Right. That's no better.
No, it's not.
That's not better.
And then
here's the thing. As a guy, you don't go to the doctor. That's just the case.
Right.
That's just the way it works. But
and they don't do anything for a hand, right?
Well, they can put a cast if it's broken. you know, if you broke a bone
onto a little side bone in the hand,
yeah,
they can put a cast.
Well, I imagine they can.
I've been putting fake casts on after shows. So I don't have to shake hands.
That's a good idea.
I just think that you don't go to the doctor because you're a guy. But 3.5 weeks in,
yeah.
If you're still having that kind of pain.
Yeah, it's really embarrassing. And then I'll put this like fake cast on so I don't have to shake hands after the show. And then like if let's say I hang with a girl after that it happens and I don't have the cast on anymore, they say, I thought your hand was messed up. And I'm like, no, it's not. Not everything's messed up. My fingers are fine. I say different parts of me work.
Yes.
So, right,
but not that one.
Not that. No, listen. Just
not that part.
Approach me from the left and it could be like, you're shaking hands with somebody in a mirror. I'm not a strong individual. I don't.
Really?
I've never claimed. I just listened to your last guest. I don't work out at Muscle Beach.
You're not Mr. Olympia?
I'm not. People think that about me. They look me in the eyes and
they
think.
They look at you and they say, wow, you must bodybuild.
Yes.
Yeah, he's so genetically gifted.
That's what it is, right?
That.
With that hunched over old man, like 80-year-old Jewish man posture that I have naturally.
Do you do anything exercise-wise?
No.
You don't at all? You
no.
just travel,
I walk,
eat crappy food,
yeah.
and do stand-up?
I walk from my car to wherever I have to be. I don't like it. I wish they would come out with like a Segway that the top like folded down into your trunk, and you could just Segway yourself everywhere.
You always see cops on Segways, and they're always fat. And
yes,
I always think, you know, those guys ought to walk a little more.
Yeah, give them a horse at least, so they can at least work their butt muscles a little bit. Give the guy a horse.
But those guys didn't get hurt shaking hands. That's all I'm saying. All right.
Well, that's because they're not friendly. If the cops were more friendly, they would shake more hands. We'd be less afraid of them.
But I've never heard of anyone hurting their hand. Did one guy hurt it?
Listen, I'm not like the woman who swam from Cuba. I'm not trying to make the Guinness book here.
No, I know, but you might have just made the Guinness book for the lamest way to injure your body part.
I mean, I'll take it. Whatever gets me Twitter followers, I don't care. I will take it. That is fine with me.
His Twitter address, by the way, since that was a shameless plug, I'll throw it in there. Is his name Benjleib?
That is true.
And you can follow him on that if you'd like to ask him questions about shaking hands. You're about to do your 100th podcast.
Yeah, we just recorded it, and it just got released. And 100 episodes, almost 2 years of summarizing the world. And every week. And it's been fun. I do it by myself, so it's lonely. But it's fun.
We do a show. We have a lot of people here. We have Lisa, and we have Bean, we have Ralph, and we have a bunch of people here. And when they're not here, it's much, much harder.
Yeah.
If I was sitting here by myself, I would play music. I don't...
Yeah.
I don't want to hear myself talk. How do you do that?
Well, the problem is, you know, when you go out in the world and you crumble like Mr. Glass from Unbreakable,
right?
You like to hold yourself up and do research and learn the world. I think you got time to absorb things.
Okay.
So I'd sit there and I'd read too much news and I try to make it interesting for people to listen to. And, you know, sometimes I succeed.
How was it at the beginning? Because 2 years ago, nobody was listening to podcasts, really.
That's true. I mean, it was a little slower, but I'm on Kevin Smith's Smodcast Network, so that helped me launch pretty decently with, you know, Kevin's tweets. And it makes you feel good when you get a huge amount of listeners up front thanks to somebody who they actually care about telling them to listen. And then as soon as that tweet goes away, your numbers dwindle. That's nice because it really makes you feel like your self-worth is non-existent. You just want to go out there and shake hands with, like, giant men and hurt yourself further.
Hey, where did everyone go?
Exactly.
Kevin, can you tweet
it
again?
Spin, and then they said, nope.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
They listened for those couple weeks.
Yeah.
No,
it's hard to find time to listen to a podcast for me.
I don't know how people do it either. I don't listen to my own. I've never heard it.
You've never heard it.
It's probably not great.
Is it bad?
It's probably not a very good podcast.
You never listened to it once just to see how good it was?
No, I did the beginning. I listened to a couple episodes, and I actually was like too impressed with it. I was like, this is very good.
I'm great.
And everyone should listen. And then I just was sold. You know, it's kind of like that show that you wish you watched, like Game of Thrones. Saw it early, loved it, haven't seen it since.
But you don't tell people that. You go, yeah, that's a great show.
Of course.
Yeah, because you have to be cool.
You have to be cool, yeah. People get angry if you don't know Game of Thrones.
You were just on the road.
Yes.
Playing 3,000-seat arenas.
That is true.
That's pretty strong.
That is pretty true.
Opening for Dane Cook.
That is also very true, yeah. I do not have that kind of fan base, but it was still nice because the crowd embraced you. You know, I was opening for him on his new tour, the Under Oath tour, across the on the East Coast, and after the show, the crowd would go nuts. We would leave the venues, and they'd be like, Ben, would you mind taking a picture?
That's cool.
And I'm like, not at all. And then they're like, No, of me and Dane.
Here's my phone.
Yeah, there was a lot of that happening. Do you mind taking it again? What do you have, Parkinson's? Stop shaking your hand. So they're not only making me feel bad, then they don't like the way I'm like, my hand hurts. I can't take a very steady photo right now.
Yeah, it is difficult to take a photo.
It's
You can do that with your left hand only, can't you?
You're sure to take a picture with your left hand.
You're a giant pussy. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. That's
but
true.
It's kind of a bummer when everybody asks you to take a picture of Dane, right?
It is true. I mean, some people ask for me, but you felt like a little bit it was like they're just being polite.
Let's throw a pity picture his way.
Yeah, exactly. We can delete these. It's digital now. I'd always say to them, you want to make sure it looks the way you like it? Make sure you like it. And they're like, we're good. I'm sure it's great.
I'm sure it's good.
And Dane, they're checking six times. So, you know.
Ben Glebe is here. The podcast, the 100th episode of his podcast, Last Week on Earth, is available on iTunes and smodcast.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Ben Glebe, and we will continue on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Ben Glebe is in the studio with us. 100th episode of his podcast, Last Week on Earth, available on iTunes and smodcast.com. Also been on the road with Dane Cook, and he reads more news than anyone I've ever met in my life.
Even more than Bean, I think.
He sat here during that song, during the fits and the tantrums. It was talking about Iran and Syria and North Korea. What's going on in Syria?
Well, Syria.
I mean, I know there's stuff happening in Syria, but.
There is stuff happening, but it's pretty messed up because, there's been this.
Hold on a second if you don't mind. International correspondent Ben Glebe.
Yeah.
On Syria.
Well, it's a real serial situation going on there. It is legit because for 2 years they've had this internal civil war, but we don't know what side we're supposed to be on. We claim to be on the side of the rebels, even though many of the rebels are Al-Qaeda members.
Right.
So that's sort of a problem because we are speaking out against how the government and Bashar al-Assad used chemical weapons to attack his own people. So we're talking about attacking him, even though we'd be helping Al-Qaeda, which seems like not in our own interest.
Seems like maybe there's a no-win there.
There's a no-win for sure. But we'd like to bomb people in the Middle East, so it's a strong inkling, at least to some of our interests. It's one of our
Ben
one of our Facebook likes.
International correspondent.
That's exactly right.
New president in Iran.
New president in Iran, so there's a new man named Rahmani, who's the new president over there.
I didn't there. Know Ahmadinejad is not there anymore.
Ahmadinejad is out. He's out. He was taken out of office. Well, not taken out. His term expired, and they hired a more moderate guy who hates Jews just a little bit less.
Just a little bit less.
Just a little less. So it's like...
By hired, you mean elected?
Well, elected, yeah. But there's always...
Hired.
Well, there's always discrepancies in the election over there. International community never confirms them as being legit elections. But Obama started writing letters to this new president.
Really?
He did?
Yeah, he's trying...
Like handwritten letters?
Handwritten letters. Dearest president of Iran, please don't nuke the world.
Wow.
Yeah, and they were writing letters back and forth. So it's real sweet because...
That's nice. It's got a little bromance going.
It is a bromance, absolutely. And does not help Obama's critics who say that he is secretly a Muslim. It does not help that case in the least. But I think it's good to try to establish some relationship with them because I think you're less likely to nuke your pen pal.
Well, that makes sense.
Don't you think so?
That makes sense.
Dearest Obama. He's like, yes, I'd like to reply to you with these words. Please do not hurt me. I love you so much. You're tender skin. So, that's nice.
Headline, North Korea.
North Korea's, their nuclear reactor at Yongbyon is almost fully operational, Death Star style.
Wow.
And we know this.
We said we weren't going to let that happen about 100 times.
Well, Obama likes to set red lines and then let them get passed. Like, even in Syria, he said, if you use chemical weapons, we're not going to stand for it. Then they use chemical weapons, he's like, well, let's think about it. And then Russia's like, let us just make sure they turn in their chemical weapons to us. And Obama's like, let me think about it. Doesn't sound bad, even though Russia lies to us constantly.
That's true.
And their leader flies with geese and wrestles bears. He's not necessarily an excellent partner to negotiate with. And, by the way, I know you asked me about North Korea, but Syria, right before they have agreed...
Back to Syria.
Right before they agreed to discuss giving up their nuclear weapons, they've been moving their chemical weapons to 50 different sites within their country, dispersing them. So really, if someone's going to be presenting all of their chemical weapons, you don't really trust them when they're quickly hiding them in 50 spots. That's like having guests come over for a dinner party and you put your good liquor in your sock drawer. It's not, you don't believe this person's really offering you the good stuff.
Maybe they don't mean it if they're dispersing it to all 50 places.
That's exactly right. And we're saying that we're doing it as a warning to Iran. So it's sort of like, we will bomb a country who's less scary to us to scare the big guy. That doesn't work very, very well. But in North Korea, so they're site is almost fully operational. They already have nukes, and we know that this site's almost up.
Back to North Korea. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
No, it's fine. All right. So we know that they're almost fully operational due to satellite imagery from the Korea-U.S. Institute at Johns Hopkins University here in the U.S. They can tell by the color of the gases in the satellite imagery. So that seems to me shoddy evidence. You're using Google Maps? Is that what you're doing? What if a guy just has gas? Someone in North Korea had some spicy Thai food, and all of a sudden we are invading them to get rid of their nuclear arsenal. And Kim Jong-un's like, no, it was simply Thai food. So it's very scary, yet we don't know if we can confirm that maybe someone's just a little gassy.
Headline, Iowa.
Iowa love their guns over there so much, they just passed an ordinance that will protect the constitutional right of all their citizens to possess guns, including and especially including the blind.
Are the blind clamoring for
guns?
Wait,
the blind are allowed to have guns
They're
in Iowa?
They're allowed to have guns now. It's their constitutional right to protect themselves. And I think it's a smart move. If people are mentally ill should have guns, I feel like people who cannot see anything should be allowed to have guns. Because that way, you know, you just point randomly. You're at the mall. People will clear the way. You don't really even need your stick. If you could just shoot. If you're swinging a gun around, people will clear the road.
That's true. You don't even have to shoot it. Just swing it around.
Swing it around. Absolutely. Get a long rifle. Use it as a cane. Boom. Double use.
This is the time to move to Iowa and act blind.
Yeah.
Fake it.
That's
true. Get a gun. You can wander through the mall fine.
Your theory there is to move out of the state you love.
Yes.
To be in a mall with less lions and risk being shot by blind people.
I'm one of the blind people,
but
though.
You have to close
acting
your eyes.
Blind.
So
no, you put the glasses on.
Oh, okay. So you go Al Pacino style.
Yes.
You put
Everybody
glasses on.
Everybody thinks you're blind.
And you go right to the front of the line at Abercrombie & Fitch.
Exactly.
In the Iowa Mall. That's a great plan.
All right.
Kevin, it's a very good plan.
It's got some weaknesses in the plan. Headline Hollywood, Brad Pitt crashes wedding.
What's this about?
This is true. Brad Pitt was in Great Britain, and it is great over there. And he was at a hotel bar, and there was a wedding taking photos at that same bar/restaurant. And the bride asked him if he'd come over and take pictures with her and with the wedding party. And that's nice of him to do it. But for me, if I were the groom,
yeah,
I would be very upset about this. You're not even going to have enjoyable sex on your wedding night when she literally just met Brad Pitt.
Yes, Brad. Yes, Brad. Yes, Brad.
Yeah,
is what she's going to be saying.
Yeah, if I were Brad Pitt, I would probably smash pie in my face and exit the bar just to be nice on their wedding day. You don't do that to somebody.
That is mean to the groom.
And he seemed like also he was so removed. Apparently in the statements he said, that's not a problem. I hope you guys have a nice day. Are you that in that much of a Hollywood twisted world? Someone's wedding, you're like, no, it's not a problem for me to pose for one photo. Have an enjoyable day. Have like an all right afternoon. It doesn't compare to one of my Brad Pitt afternoons where I make love to Angelina Jolie and then ride a water buffalo that I'm trying to save in its natural habitat with my 14 adopted children.
Is that what he does? He rides water buffaloes?
He likes to save wild animals. I don't know which ones he rides or not, but I believe they're one of the big goals. He and Angelina are trying to reconnect the wildlife and the habitat in their home they own in Africa.
Okay.
Their dream one day is when they see the elephants crossed in front of their yard, it means that they've finally connected the habitat back to its original thing. So they're playing God. They believe they're godlike. How about make a couple good movies first? I like that zombie movie, but don't save the elephants until Angelina makes one movie that's not like one of her passion projects. Get a little box office going first, Angie.
And then work on the elephants?
Then save the elephants.
All right.
That's what I believe.
Ben Gleib has been our guest. You can follow him at Ben Gleib, G-L-E-I-B, on Twitter. Lastweekonearth.com is the podcast website, or you can get it in iTunes.
True. Stitcher.
You're going to be doing live shows, Comedy Juice, October 9th at the Hollywood Improv, October 15th at Irvine Improv, and October 17th at the Ice House in Pasadena. You're spending all of October in Southern California.
I am. I'm
Fantastic.
Staying here most of the time.
Because of your hand?
Because of my hand. Yeah. It's very hard to travel. You can't hold one carry-on with a brittle elderly woman hand. makes it very nice.
Woman Ann.
Yeah, that's my new nickname.
I like it. Thanks for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Time to welcome to the air Dr. Drew Pinsky. We have him on pretty much every Thursday. Dr. Drew, welcome.
Kevin, how are you?
Host of Loveline on K-Rock. Dr. Drew on call on HLN and about 15 other shows. Dr. Drew, we wanted to talk to you about schizophrenia because we don't understand that much at all.
Okay.
And this is the guy that was in the Navy shipyard that was shooting people up was a schizophrenic, apparently.
I thought you were going to talk about Bean's obsession with death, which must have been triggered by all that.
Well,
stuff.
That's something that we will always talk about because it's odd to all of us. But he's on vacation, so we're not
very odd. But be that as it may.
Okay.
Is that what people are saying this morning?
Well, they said he reported hearing voices.
Yes, yes. Okay. So we don't know that he is schizophrenic. We know that he was psychotic. Okay. So what is
explain the difference.
Yeah, psychotic illness. You know, there is different kinds of psychiatric conditions, which are basically disorders of the brain. There are mood disturbances like depression or bipolar disorder. And in manic depression or bipolar disorder, people can get manic and in that mania become psychotic. They can think they're the king of the world. They can remember the guy down in San Diego, the pony guy that was walking around without his clothes on, and that was a manic psychotic episode where he's talking to himself and crazy. He's disconnected from reality. Schizophrenia is another condition where various kinds of psychotic states. Depression can have psychotic states. People can have
wait. Just a person who is just normally, I guess it would be really depressed.
Can become psychotic.
Can snap and take a gun and start shooting people?
It usually doesn't manifest that way. More they get catatonic and are hearing things and seeing things. Let's talk about psychosis.
Okay.
Psychosis is a thought disorder where people have delusions, number one. And delusions are there are various kinds of delusions. You can believe, there can be grandiose delusions where you believe you're Napoleon or you believe you're Jesus. I mean, you believe it. Or you can have delusions of reference where you think that people are using microwaves to beam thoughts into your head.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, I had a stalker once.
Yeah, we have people that listen to the show who think we're sending them messages specifically.
Or you're talking directly to them. That's a delusion. Or you can have hallucinations where you hear voices talking to you or you see things that aren't there. And that is what it's a brain state, it's a psychotic state, and you know, people with schizophrenia have intermittent psychosis or even sometimes chronic psychosis, and that's some of the more severe psychotic conditions, and there certainly are qualities about this guy that suggest he may have had sort of a burgeoning schizophrenia with intermittent psychotic episodes. And
he did have other shootings in his past.
Yes, he did. Listen, the first one was almost 10 years ago in Seattle where he was – the construction workers across the street from where we lived said there was a guy that kept looking out the window at them as though they were, like, thinking about him. He believed they were thinking about him and transmitting thoughts into his head.
Wow.
And using the microwave again. And so he became psychotic enough. He eventually went outside and shot up their car.
Shot the tires, right?
Yeah, or thinking that he was going to make them stop. You know, sending beaming thoughts into his head.
Wow.
You know, and this is what happens with psychosis. They are not, if you know, and the other thing is...
Isn't the Navy, don't they have any kind of system to
screen these people?
Yes, you would hope so, for God's sakes. And not only that, what about the gun situation? I mean, do we want these people to have guns? You want a manic psychotic to have guns? And by the way, there are, you know, chemicals, drugs like methamphetamine can cause psychosis very typically, and there can be organic causes, brain problems, you know, encephalitis or toxic states can cause a psychotic illness as well.
You make it sound like anyone could snap at any minute.
Well, it's not a snapping so much as a sort of a devolution. You sort of devolve into these things. But the real thing that Lisa brings up is that why can't we say, you know, let's have five doctors sign a piece of paper where they all evaluate him and go, hey, this guy shouldn't have a gun.
Right.
Or security clearance.
Because not because he's a bad guy, but someday he might think he's Napoleon at war. You know what I mean? What is wrong with that? And by the way, when you're paranoid, you'll stockpile guns, you'll think about doing violent things, and you will do violent things sometimes. Not necessarily, by the way. The other thing to keep in mind is we don't want to further add to the stigma of mental illness. These are highly treatable conditions. People with these kind of conditions are actually more likely to be the object of violent crimes than the perpetrator, so let's not blame everybody with mental illness. But the access to guns.
But really, along the way, you know, a lot of people bring up guns and they just say we all need them or we all don't.
I know.
Those are the two options.
Or that, hey, it's a slippery slope. If you start restricting them to these guys, you know, and you really want a doctor to say you're not competent?
I'm all right if doctor said that guy was not competent to have a gun.
That's right. Because we're not going to misuse, particularly if you have to have a committee of people to say it, they're not going to abuse that power. It's just if you know when people should have access to these things and when they just simply should not.
Yeah.
Is that ever going to happen?
Look at the mass shootings we've been talking about for the last, 4 years? Whether it's Connecticut, Aurora, Colorado, you look at every single one. It's somebody with a Virginia Tech with a severe psychotic illness who, by the way, was having access to the mental health system. It's not like there is an access problem or an availability problem. They were being cared for, but
So people had pretty much treated all of them.
Well, but they couldn't force them to take their medication. They couldn't prevent them from getting access to guns. And that's the problem. Doctors can't do their job. I guarantee you when the Aurora, Colorado story starts evolving, when we hear what actually happened there, that poor psychiatrist was desperately trying to get that kid somewhere safe for him and for the rest of us.
Right.
But, Drew, really, what causes psychosis to manifest into violence?
I'm not sure there's a simple answer for that. I mean, for instance, with methamphetamine, that is, they're typically violent. I mean, that's a very, speed. When a couple guys that invented that old aphorism, speed kills, and I spoke to one of them once, and he goes, we didn't mean that if you take speed, you die. We meant if you're on speed, you kill other people. And because it's a very, so there's certain kinds of psychoses where they're very agitated, very focused outside, very likely. And by the way, when they become violent, remember Todd Bridges, the actor?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He believed his grandmother, he was on meth, believed his grandmother was building a factory under his house to bring green men up to his room to torment him. So he tore the floorboards up of his house. The men kept coming, and he chased them out into the street, shooting at them, and nearly shot up some other people.
Wow.
And that's how it happened. They're so disconnected and so disorganized, they think they're doing something rational to protect themselves or even protect other people. They may believe they're a vigilante. They're disconnected.
So do you?
But let's not further racism against green people either. That's just a bad idea.
I beg your pardon.
Some of my best friends are green, Drew.
I gotta check myself. Sorry.
Okay.
Dr. Drew, thank you for your time. We appreciate it. The podcast, the Dr. Drew podcast, Adam and Dr. Drew show podcast, Mike and Dr. Drew podcast can all be heard at Podcast One, and you no longer have to pay for the Loveline.
Amazing,
one.
Right?
So that's fantastic. Dr. Drew, we appreciate it. Thank you.
See you guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:56. Ralph Garman has been broadcasting all day from Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
As the Eagles are playing in Thursday night football tonight. Yeah. And Ralph's going to be there with a bunch of fellas.
Oh, I'm going to be so drunk.
Tossing a few back.
Oh, I'm going to be so drunk.
And then tomorrow's show?
Top of my form.
Ralph or no?
Never been better.
Ralph plays well hurt. I'll give him that.
Yeah, he does.
He does play well hurt, especially with hurt drinking. We'll find out.
I'm broadcasting literally from a studio that's about a block and a half away from my hotel. So how? Even I can't screw that up.
Well, it depends on if you're coming from your hotel.
That's true. I'd have a bucket nearby just in case I need to heave during the show.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Speaking of heaving, I can't watch that Miley Cyrus video anymore, that wrecking ball video.
Her making out with a sledgehammer?
She's licking a hammer and riding a wrecking ball and just...
None of that's code, by the way. She's literally licking a hammer.
Getting pregnant from a chain. It's all very disturbing. And she has to ruin it for everyone, her, with her horribleness. Did you hear about what happened at Grand Valley State University?
No.
Grand Valley State University, which is in, I want to say, Michigan.
Fine.
Yeah. They've had this statue on campus for the longest time, which is a giant ball suspended from a 15-foot steel cable, a pendulum, they call it. But it looks very much like a wrecking ball.
Okay.
Well, as you can imagine, all you need is that mixed with Miley Cyrus's video and a bunch of drunk students. And the campus in Michigan is unhappy that so many parody videos have shown up online with nude students riding the wrecking ball.
Yeah.
A la Miley Cyrus. So now they have removed the statue from the campus.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's so funny. They claim the reason they removed it from campus is because the cable was fraying on the statue, and they were concerned for the statue. Yeah. like a steel cable is going to fray because I'm nude co-ed start climbing on top of it. Sadly, it looks like mostly dudes who are doing it. Not a lot of naked female students on the sculpture.
Yeah, so. Unfortunately, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, so you can't ride the wrecking ball on campus in Michigan.
Way to go, Miley.
Yeah, thanks, Miley. Now people are having to survive without their statue of a wrecking ball on campus.
Why did they have that in the first place?
I have no idea. It's a horrible idea. First day sales for Grand Theft Auto 5 are pretty astonishing. The latest installment of the franchise was released worldwide on Tuesday, and it raked in $800 million in 24 hours.
It's funny. You've been saying that number all day, and I keep thinking you're saying $800 million.
Yeah, I am saying $800 million.
In one day.
In 24 hours.
No, I don't get that.
The game will blow past the $1 billion threshold in just a couple days, and it's remarkable. It's insane. And we were talking earlier today about how they could possibly keep up with the demand of that many copies.
Right.
And it dawned on me, and thanks to the listener who emailed me to give me the heads up, but digital copies. You don't have to have...
Oh, yes.
You don't actually have to have the game in hand in order to get it. You can buy it digitally and just download it and play it that way. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. It's much easier. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, since it is September the 19th. Some of my favorite people born on this day. Like Victoria Silvstedt, for example. I love her. She was so much fun.
With the bell.
There we go.
She doesn't do our show anymore.
No.
You know why? Because she's off living with some rich dude in Europe, I think. That's why we don't see her anymore. She's 39 years old. Jimmy Fallon, also 39 today. Actress and host Allison Sweeney's 37. Zachary Levi's 33 years old. Nile Rodgers of Chic, also, of course, the guitarist producer who works with Daft Punk on their latest record, 61 years old. Jeremy Irons is 65. And the legend himself, Mr. Adam West, TV's Batman. Of course, the mayor of Quahog over there on Family Guy, 85 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
On the way, we're going to talk to Sarah Shahi. But first, it is International Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Yes,
sir. Arr, sure and it be, Kevin, me boy.
And you know why it is?
Arr.
Because Dave Barry said it was going to be. That's why.
We have Dave Barry to thank for Talk Like a Pirate Day, or blame, depending on your point of view.
Apparently, it's Dave's fault. Dave Barry, of course, is a New York Times bestselling author, and I believe he's behind Talk Like a Pirate Day. Is that correct, Dave?
Well, sort of. I wrote a column about it. The two guys who thought it were two guys in Oregon named John Bauer and Mark Summers. And they've been talking like pirates on September 19th for a while, but nobody else was doing it.
How did they pick that? How did they pick that day?
I'm glad you ask, and I'm kind of shocked you don't know. That happens to be one of their ex-wives' birthday.
Oh, sure. Well, that makes sense.
They can remember. So anyway, but they were doing it for years, just talking like pirates on September. But that really wasn't working as a marketing technique. So they wrote me a letter, and this was back in 2002. And, I'm desperate for things to write columns about. I'll write columns about anything. So I wrote a column about that, saying, okay, everybody should talk like a pirate on September 19th. And I really didn't give it another thought. The column ran, and the day it ran, I turned on my answering machine. This is back when people still had answering machines.
Right.
And, like, every message on my answering machine was,
so you were like, wait a minute, people are doing it?
Yeah. So it turns out that for some reason there is a deep-seated need on the part of the American, well, really the world, to talk like pirates some of the time. The only problem I've noticed is that pretty much the only thing that anybody knows how to say like a pirate is,
yeah, that's pretty much it.
Pretty quickly after that, they run out of things to say, me hearties, which may be why there are no more pirates. I don't know.
Here's the thing, though. I was looking up different days in September. You didn't care that there's a classical music day. You didn't care that there's a fall hat day. That's not getting any.
How'd you let that go?
You didn't care that it's chicken month or it's baby safety month. You don't care about any of that. You just care about pirates.
Oh, yeah. Well, as you know, I mean, there's every single day is like, mustard appreciating day.
Yes,
every
it's all nonsense.
Like 53 things.
Right.
But for some reason, this particular thing is big. I mean, when I've been dead for hundreds of years, nobody will have any idea who I was, but people will still, I predict, on September 19th be talking like pirates.
I think you're going to get credit for Talk Like a Pirate Day. That's going to be on your tombstone.
But it really wasn't my idea.
I know.
I was just gonna say, "Arr."
I understand that it wasn't your idea, but you're the one that kind of made it happen. Those two guys were just annoying all their friends.
All right, 30. Okay, if I read what you're saying correctly, then everyone should just send me money.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that should happen.
But 30 novels, Pulitzer Prize, all your columns, that's going to be nothing. Save,
nothing.
Talk Like
nothing.
a Pirate Day. That's going to stick. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the one. You also wrote a novel that there's a play based on in town, right?
Yeah, sure. It's a series of them. Yeah.
I wrote with a guy named Ridley Pearson. We wrote a series of young adult fiction books called Peter. Well, the first one was called Peter and the Star Catchers, which it basically tells the backstory of Peter Pan. And, you know, Disney published them. This was started back in the 90s, and they did well. But what happened was this guy named Rick Ellis, who wrote Jersey Boys, wrote it as a play called Peter and the Star Catcher. Ours is called Peter and Star Catchers.
Right.
And it's a really terrific play. I have to say, there's almost nothing in it that I wrote. You know, it's like all this guy, Rick Ellis, is very funny.
So he wrote a play based on your book?
Yeah. It's sort of like the basic story of our book, but it's kind of retold in this really imaginative way. It's a very funny play. It's kind of more aimed at grown-ups, to be honest. For example, it has men dressed in brassieres made out of kitchen implements, just to pick one scene in it.
Okay. Now I'm in.
That again.
Those men are mermaids, by the way, but okay.
They are.
This play is going to be at the Amundsen Theater downtown Los Angeles in the month of December.
It was in New York, and it went to Tonys.
It won five Tony Awards. Yeah, no, it's really a terrific show, and the critics loved it, and it's done really well going around the country. So
I'm sorry I don't know more about it, Dave, but our motto here on the Kevin and Bean Show is reading is for losers.
I can't believe that you even know this much, to be honest.
I'm looking at a piece
of
paper.
You're going to get thrown out of radio if you're doing this much research.
Well, we've got a girl on our staff, and she likes plays and junk.
I love plays, and I'm so excited that this is coming
plays
to
junk.
L.A.
Would that be the lovely Lisa May?
Yes.
It would be.
Yes. Hey, Dave. It's really cool. And aren't they doing something special today?
I think they're having,
that's a leading question.
According to the same thing that we're both probably reading, yes.
Why, yes, Lisa.
They are. They have a special Peter and the Starcatcher 50% discount offer for today only.
Because of
in
pirates.
In celebration of International Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Yeah.
So you have to call up and say R?
I think that's what you do, bury R and then give them your credit card number.
But a real pirate, wouldn't a real pirate just steal the tickets?
Just go in there and swashbuckle and, you know, pull his sword and, you know, steal the whole show.
There's also Long John Silver's who's giving away food if you talk like a pirate and you get a free donut.
Dunkin' Donuts, which is, I never really think of Dunkin' Donuts as a pirate-oriented organization, but there you are.
Krispy Kreme, I think.
I don't know.
It's craziness.
Yeah, I think it's Krispy Kreme.
It's craziness, and it's all due to you, Dave. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I'm taking full credit.
Your career is going to be just pretty much whittled down to talk like a pirate, Dave. But you've done a lot of other good work, and thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:43.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Ralph Garman broadcasting from Philadelphia today as he is doing his yearly trip to see the Eagles play. Play tonight against the Kansas City Chiefs. And if they lose, Ralph will be in a terrible mood tomorrow.
Yes.
If they win, Ralph will come right from the celebration.
Yes.
Okay. Good times.
I understand you guys are enjoying a little taste of Philadelphia as we speak.
We are. We're eating some water ice.
Got some water ice?
Water ice.
You're eating Rita's water ice?
Yep.
That's very good.
It's delicious, isn't it?
We don't call it water here, but
Rita's water ice.
It says water. It does say W-A-T-E-R.
I'm about 7 blocks from the original Rita's Water Ice, right from where I'm broadcasting.
That's a terrible accent.
I could easily walk over to Rita's and get some water ice for the Eagles game tonight.
Is the Philadelphia accent maybe the most offensive?
Quite possibly, yeah.
That or Boston?
What are you talking about? People in Philadelphia don't have an accent.
Yeah. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
It's so weird. Today we were talking about the success of Grand Theft Auto 5. Went on sale Tuesday. Sold in the span of 24 hours. Made $800 million worth of sales.
What?
$800 million in 24 hours.
What?
That's how wildly popular that game is. And just while we were celebrating one of the milestones of video games, this horrible, shocking news comes today. Nintendo pioneer Hiroshi Yamauchi, the ex-president of Nintendo, who revolutionized the video game industry. He introduced Super Mario.
That's pretty strong.
Zelda, Donkey Kong. Those are all his.
Wow.
Introduced the Nintendo Entertainment System, the NES, to America in 1985. He passed away today.
No!
the age of 85. At an estimated net worth of about $2.1 billion,
wow.
Hiroshi was ranked as the 13th richest man in Japan at the time of his death.
There were 12 people richer than him?
More people rocking north of $2 billion in their bank accounts.
Wow.
This is how rich this dude was. When he retired, he left the company in 2002.
Yeah.
He refused to accept his retirement pension.
Wow.
Don't need it. Don't need it.
Really, that's what he said. It was between, they estimated between $9 and $14 million is what he would have gotten upon his retirement as a pension. But he said, you know what? I'm good. Nintendo can put that to better use. Why don't you use guys that, you know, develop another game or something like that?
Because $10 million to that guy is nothing.
I know.
No, you got $2.1 billion.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty strong. So we salute him and thank him for Donkey Kong and Zelda and all the other good stuff he gave us. It is Talk Like a Pirate Day. I want to remind you, if you want a free donut, you can go to Krispy Kreme Donuts today. Krispy Kreme Donuts. I'm talking like I'm from Philadelphia.
You are. Yes, you are.
Krispy Kreme Donuts. If you go down there, tell them, you know, say Talk Like a Pirate, you get a free donut.
Yeah! That's hot!
Take it easy, Muggs. Muggs is going to go from Krispy Kreme to Krispy Kreme all day long.
Well, Muggs, you know, if you dress up like a pirate, they'll give you a free dozen donuts.
Fantastic.
And how do you dress up like a pirate? Is it just an eye patch? Is that it?
Or if you get a bandana around your head, maybe a hook, pirate shirt, some knickers, three-cornered hat with a feather in it. You know, use your imagination. You know what a pirate looks like, for God's sakes. Linda Lohan is in the news. Her mother, Dina, of course, got popped for DUI charges last week. And everybody was asking, oh, how did Lindsay react when she got the news? Well, we're going to find out because she is filming her reality docuseries while we speak. She's got that deal with Oprah Winfrey to do her series on the OWN network. And as luck would have it, cameras were reportedly rolling when she got the phone call and heard the news that her mom had been popped for DUI.
You think they were rolling, or do you think they said, we need to tell Lindsay, roll?
Yeah, maybe. What happened? Turn the cameras on.
Right.
According to sources, she got really pissed, called her mom an effing child and a complete hypocrite. So, Thanksgiving dinner should be fun.
All
with
right.
The Lohan family. Hope Michael stops by.
That's always a good time in that family.
The Big Bang Theory actors are getting ready for contract negotiations. Huge hit, that Big Bang Theory. Right now, they are, well, the whole cast is renegotiating. Mayim Bialik and Melissa Rauch, who have lesser roles on the show, they're currently getting right now between $20,000 and $30,000 per episode. Looks like they'll be booted up to about the $60,000 an episode range. In the meanwhile, the main stars, Johnny Galecki, Jim Parsons, and Kelly Cuoco, apparently they're all negotiating together. They already get $350,000 per episode. They will likely make about $500,000 a piece per episode when it's all said and done. So it's good to be on a hit show, people.
No kidding.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? It is, of course, September the 19th. Not just like a Talk Like a Pirate Day, but the birthday for these folks. Victoria Silvstedt, one of our favorite all-time playmates, 39 years old today. Remember when she sang that Santa Baby song on one of her Christmas CDs?
I do.
She had never heard that song before.
No, she hadn't.
Boy, you can tell. No one cared. Allison Sweeney, the actress and host, of course, of The Biggest Loser, 37 years old today. Singers Tegan and Sarah are 33 years old today. Zach Levi is 33. Nile Rodgers of Chic, also producer and guitarist, and worked with Daft Punk on their new record.
Get Lucky,
61 years old. Actor Jeremy Irons is 65. And the legend, the man, the myth, TV's Batman, Mayor of Quahog from Family Guy, Adam West, 85 years old today.
Adam West, a little bit softer now. Adam West.
The day Ralph met him was the best day of Ralph's life.
It really was, and we've since become friends. Can you play that again? I'm not finished yet.
Adam
West. Wait, ew.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. I forgot to give away a pair of passes to join Stryker at that damn mud run.
October 12th at Santa Fe Dam. Visit www.thatdammudrun.com for full details. We'll take caller 10 right now, 1-800-520-1067.
Striker has a tail!
Tail. And a mud run.
Not a mud run. It's called dam. Ralph will be back tomorrow, maybe.
We'll see.
We'll see. Cousin Sal will be here with his NFL picks. We've got a brand new internet roundup. We have Kevin Smith on the program. We got the movie beat. We're going to talk Emmys with the LA Times TV critic, Mary McNamara. And we've got a bunch more for tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Beat Show. Have fun, Ralph.
Thanks.
Don't die.